Now, how aware is your child when it comes to various forms of abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, sexual or domestic? About 9,000 children in all classes from primary 1 to primary 7 in selected schools will actually receive age-appropriate lessons in all forms of abuse. But it'll be about actually a year from now that they'll be undertaking these lessons, because special training has to be presented to the teachers. I want to speak to Barbara Nugent, who is a teacher who's working alongside the NSPCC as a consultant on this. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
This is quite a challenge, isn't it? And I presume the first thing we need to say is that surely there's already an awareness in schools of children and abuse. Surely the children are being made aware even as we speak, or am I wrong on that?
Oh no, you're absolutely right. Schools are very aware that there's a need for this project. We know from our research that there are significant gaps in children's understanding about what abuse is, who poses a threat, and how to seek help. In fact, many children believe that strangers pose the greatest threat, whereas we know that sadly 9 out of 10 children who are abused are actually abused by someone known to them, be that a family member or someone that lives close to them or a family friend. And all children have the right, obviously, to a happy and safe childhood. And it's our responsibility as adults to teach our children how to be safe and to encourage them to talk about any worries or concerns that they might have.
You see, a lot of children going through school, right back to my era and many since that, were made aware of stranger danger. And
yes,
this obviously has been well and truly broadened out now. But from stranger danger right through to the most loving, caring, sharing parent who bounces the wee boy or wee girl up and down on his or her knee, it'd be terrible to think that a child would begin to believe that being cuddled at home is wrong.
Yes, and we will teach children from a very young age about appropriate and inappropriate touch. And that's for the children to identify what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, what is normal and what is not normal, because unfortunately we know that a lot of children are grown up with abuse as their normality, so they don't see it as being different or being wrong. So we're teaching children messages like, what kind of touches do you like? Oh, when mum gives you a hug going to bed, do you like that? And how does that make you feel? You feel safe. That's a good thing. So we very much draw out the positive. And then it's, what touches do we not like? When somebody hurts us or pushes us or makes us feel bad inside, because we are addressing sexual abuse, but we're addressing all forms of abuse as well, including emotional and physical. So it's about talking to the child about their feelings and what makes them feel safe, and then identifying who their safe adults are and understanding that, yes, it may turn out that it is not a stranger who's abusing you. It could be someone that is known to you, but that there are other safe adults in your life at home and school that you can go to.
Children generally, are they being abused primarily emotionally in Northern Ireland, or is it physically? I would dread to think that sexual would be anywhere above bottom of the league table. But when you talk about emotional, physical, domestic and sexual abuse, is it the emotional and the physical that's top of the league?
No, neglect is actually the highest form of abuse at the moment, and it's the highest across the UK this year. So that's top of our league table at the moment. And yes, sexual abuse would be close to the bottom, but we think that's because a lot of this hasn't been brought to the front, that a lot of children are not recognising that it is wrong. They're being bribed and manipulated and threatened into thinking that it is normal, and this is something that we're doing to prepare you for being older, and this is okay to do this. So a lot of sexual abuse goes unreported, and obviously the only statistics we have are those that are reported to the police.
How stark are those statistics at the moment? Because you're painting a picture there of children who are maybe at primary school or in the early stages of secondary school at this present moment in time, who've come away from a weekend that would be despicable in the eyes of any right-minded person. How common is it?
Well, unfortunately, we think that 1 in 20 children will have experienced sexual abuse before the age of 18. And we know that 1 in 4 children are experiencing some form of abuse. And you're right, those figures are stark and very disturbing.
How do teachers learn to handle this properly in the classroom? Because there will be a considerable number of teachers who, when they qualified, didn't see that as their role.
Absolutely. And it's only actually coming in now to the training colleges as statutory that they must undertake this child protection training when they go there. So yes, teachers have a lot to learn, and I know that from personal experience, but NSPCC also did some research back in 2008-11, and that's what we found. The teachers were saying, yes, we see the need for these messages, but we need training. We need to know what we should be saying and how to say that appropriately. So we have been, as I say, funded by the Department of Education, and part of our remit is to develop a sustainable package of training for all staff in schools. So not only teachers will get training, but our auxiliary staff, our catering staff, our classroom assistants, right up to our leaders and principals, everyone will have training that's appropriate for their role and responsibility, so we can support the children, that we can communicate the messages across in a sensitive manner. This study is also, or this programme is also part of a randomised control trial. And at the end of it, we will be able to produce robust evidence and measure two things. We'll be able to measure the effectiveness of the programme, both from a child's perspective and from a teacher and parent perspective. So we will measure the change in children's knowledge and skills, but we'll also measure the changes in teachers' and parents' confidence and skills in communicating these sensitive messages.
I'm thinking about the parents at the moment, the totally innocent parent who
Absolutely.
Has a child in the class and the child says something and other children
yeah.
pick up on it, and then it's out in the playground. Do you know
yeah.
Mr. X's must be doing whatever because
yeah.
wee Jimmy said this in the classroom
yeah.
day, and suddenly it's all around the parish, it's on social
mm-hmm.
media or wherever. And there's
yeah.
a totally innocent parent who
Absolutely.
Is distraught.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you ensure that doesn't happen?
Okay, well, when we are teaching these lessons in school, we will have rules. So there'll be rules for these lessons. So things like respect what each other's saying, and that nothing that the children should say should go into the playground. So respect what your friend or your classmate might say. But if they say something that may be about their family member or someone else, don't carry that outside the classroom. That's my responsibility as a teacher to deal with that. And if it's something that worries or concerns me, that I will deal with that appropriately. But there will be kind of rules around that, you know, to make children feel that they're not going to be talked about outside the classroom. And obviously, if some child does say something that's worrying or concerning, it will be dealt with appropriately as per the child protection policy in each school.
Because child protection policy exists in the school as it is, and it could happen today that a child will say something. It's
Absolutely,
not as if it's
yeah.
going to begin to happen simply because the NSPCC and the Department of Education introduce new structures next September. It
mm-hmm.
will be a limited number of schools that will avail of it. Is that very much to the advantage of those schools, to the disadvantage of the ones who aren't the guinea pigs?
Well, it depends, because every school is at a different place and have a different readiness for the programme. Unfortunately, we're only just recruiting 90 schools at the moment, but we hope that when we produce robust evidence to suggest that this is successful, that then every school and every child in Northern Ireland will have this programme and will have this education.
Will you be using the opportunity when discussing these topics to highlight the danger of the internet, or is that totally different?
Oh no, that comes into our programme absolutely, because children have to learn to respect one another face-to-face and online. It cuts right across, and healthy relationships have to be formed online or face-to-face and online, and children need to know the boundaries there. So e-safety does it, particularly from about primary three upwards, when children we know are using the internet a lot. There are measures in school, but I think it's parents that need the education as well at home. And our programme will have lots of information and workshops for parents around e-safety in particular.
Good to know that's in there too. Barbara, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Barbara Nugent, a teacher working with the NSPCC as a consultant in relation to this new project that's been rolled out and will very much be in the schools this time next year. About 9,000 children in all classes from primary 1 to primary 7 in selected schools receiving age-appropriate lessons in preventing emotional, physical, sexual and domestic abuse. And good luck to everyone involved in that project.